slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. I have a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading, and I would never have guessed when we started this crazy radio thing that first, I would grow to love it, and then second, that it would be a hit. The idea of trying to get people a little healthier, to take their life back, to make common sense decisions. Well, I'm just kind of tickled that it's going over well. And, you know, it's more than a hit. It's kind of a movement. You know, for years I've been on a mission to get people to eat real food that, you know, when they read the ingredients, they can pronounce them. They can understand the origin of the ingredient. And, you know, before we get started today, I want to talk about snacks and tell you what my favorite snacks are. You know, instead of having maybe an artificially flavored, processed snack, you know, maybe some apple flavored, crunchy thing, why not consider my favorite snack, which would be a big handful of raw organic almonds and maybe a big piece of organic cheese and some sliced apples. You know, doesn't that sound breaker for us, and we look forward to gaining entry into other stores. So, I guess it's true, stores are sensitive to the customer vote at the checkout stand. And then he goes on to write, I thank you for giving us a voice and letting us be part of something that's greater than the sum of all its parts. I feel like I've discovered another incentive for doing what I do, empowering people to make simple, life-changing decisions and watching them go for it. It's thrilling in its own way. And since that email, you know, Lazy 69 Ranch will be adding not just the Palisadro store, but also Placer Holiday Market and the Alturas Holiday Market. So that's some pretty exciting news. Well, today we have our guest co-host back. We have Mark Beecham, also known as Mr. Opinion. Mark has a Saturday opinion column in the Record Searchlight and a very popular blog on Reading.com. Welcome, Mark.
Well, welcome, Trudy. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. And our special guest today is Dr. Doug Craig, Reading psychologist and a survivor of a nasty accident not all that long ago. And he, too, has a blog on Reading.com with this little bloggers convention here, you know. Welcome, Dr. Craig.
It's wonderful to be here.
Oh,
thanks for having me.
Thanks. You know, the main focus of your blog is on climate change. And but today we wanted to start with, you know, part of what Mark has in the paper today and his opinion piece really has to do with the stress of the economy and the stress the economy is putting on families. And, you know, I know that I hear in my practice at least once a week, you know, somebody's putting their house up for sale. And, you know, that's just the end result of a whole heck of a lot of stress that went on to get to that decision. And then even hoping that that decision is a solution, you know, with this market. That, I mean, who's to say that's really even a solution? So I wanted to start by asking you questions here about, you know, what about this unbelievable stress to families? What's your solution there? What are we going to do with this?
Well, as a psychologist, I deal with the most intimate of details regarding their stress and frustration. Clients walk in my office and tell me things they haven't told anyone, and so certainly I hear about their deepest fears and worries and concerns. But I'm also aware, as I'm working with individuals, of some of these larger systems. I think systematically, and so I'm also understanding that many of us feel powerless because these things happen to us personally, but they are part of a much larger system that we're not really, I don't want to say the word permitted to understand, but we're not encouraged to fully grasp. And so my concern, you know, as a psychologist, is how can I help these individuals just deal with what's impacting them? And part of that means kind of letting go of the past, not being so concerned about the future, but focusing on what they have control over themselves at this moment. And within that small circle of control, they can be pretty powerful and begin to think more clearly about their choices.
Unbelievable. Okay, so within their small circle of control. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to KCNR 1460, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Doug Craig.
Market volatility seems here to stay. What does this mean for your investments, and what steps should you take? Uncertain times call for experience that you can trust. By working with your Morgan Stanley Smith Barney financial advisor, you'll gain insights that can answer these questions to make important investment decisions for your portfolio today that can help you reach your future goals. Please call Rick Hill at 223-4200. That's Rick Hill at 223-4200.
Join your community in a cooperative effort to support and honor our veterans. That's what NorCalVets.com is all about. If you're a business, an individual, or a group that offers any type of discount to veterans past, present, and future, NorCalVets.com will provide free of charge a link to your website, description of your services or products you provide, and any discounting or additional services rendered to veterans. NorCalVets.com is all about our community supporting those that have defended our country. NorCalVets.com believes we should not only support our veterans and their families, but also those companies, individuals, and groups that support veterans. For more information, please visit NorCalVets.com and scroll to the bottom of the page for contact information. NorCalVets.com.
Hi, Joe Adamson with Adamson's Peak Performance. Ladies, how are you fitting into your favorite pair of jeans? At Adamson's Peak Performance, we've got fitness solutions, including personal training, small group personal training, the Take Shape for Life nutrition and weight loss program, and now the Skinny Jeans Women's Boot Camp program. Call Adamson's Peak Performance at 221-8006. Get the details, get in the program, and get back into those jeans. Call Adamson's Peak Performance at 221-8006.
Slow down. You got to make
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and our guest today is Dr. Doug Craig, and we're talking about, you know, in his private practice as a psychologist, you know, we've been in a skid here of tough economic times for a while, and I wanted to hear more about the idea of, you know, what people are going through. How tough is it for people right now?
Well, I think there's not just an economic crisis. I think there's somewhat of a spiritual crisis in that the way I view it, as people come and share with me, they're kind of looking for some meaning and purpose to their lives. And even in a functioning economy, when things are going well, it's not like psychologists don't have anything to do. We're still very busy. People are very depressed, anxious. And part of that, I think, as you look back over the last few decades, the system has become more and more profit-driven, and within that environment, I think human beings tend to feel more and more as objects. And I don't know, when I was a young person, I guess I'm most concerned about the young people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter, a 20-year-old in college, and I have a almost 18-year-old senior in high school, and I'm really concerned about their future, because when I was their age, I could live on my own, pay $100 a month rent, you know, fill my Volkswagen up for $3, and you know, maybe pay 10 or 15 bucks for utilities, and I was good to go. And I just don't know what we think we're doing. You know, we have a system that seems rigged against us, and yet we're all in the same boat. And I know sometimes our culture divides us between left and right, but I kind of think all of us economically are united, and if we all have a common problem, but we all sit at home and feel isolated and feel like it's just me, And I think somehow we have to figure out how we can all come together to design a society that's more humane for humans and makes more sense for all of us. Whereas I don't think it's just a matter of, oh, good, the economy's bounced back and everything's good again, because the overall culture is unsustainable. There is an end point to this whole process if we don't step back and realize what we're doing.
Now, when you describe the situation for people, when you're looking at the fact that they feel like they've lost a sense of community, things are unstable, they feel unsafe, I mean, that is worse right now than previous years?
I think, studies show that just about every generation since 1950 has been more depressed than the previous. And I think a lot of that is there's some endemic kind of hopelessness and helplessness. And, one of my concerns about a lot of young people is this. I don't hear much about it, but in my practice, I'm seeing more and more and hearing more and more about OxyContin addiction, which is, I think, the ultimate sense of hopelessness among the youth, they don't see a whole lot of options out there. So they're just turning to a kind of escapism that, maybe we had ourselves when we were that age in the 60s and 70s, but to me it's much more destructive. Some of the drugs out there now are just unbelievably damaging physically, psychically, spiritually, and I just think as a society we're still just focused on the money. It seems like, I think Shakespeare said something about, I forget now, I had the quote, but Mark may know it, but it's the idea that, once we make these things idols and worship them, we kind of lose a sense of maybe a true purpose.
Following up on that, you said something in the paper that I wanted to ask you about, and that is that people are trying, in this economy, are being forced to live with less. And if so much of their lives has been defined by the car they drive, the size of their house, the vacations they go on, et cetera, how do you see that playing out? How much of a shock is that for people to have a life that's defined by material things and suddenly have those material things scale back by, say, 50% or more? What kind of a shock is that to them?
Well, yeah, I think what we're aware of is that whether we realize it or not, often our self-esteem is based on things that we can't control. So, if my self-esteem is based on my need to be deeply loved by another person and my wife divorces me, then suddenly I have no self-esteem, I'm lost. And it's the same economically, especially men in our culture are pretty much taught from early on that our purpose as men in this society is to get a good job, make good money, and provide for our families. And if the economy starts crashing and we're not doing that, then we kind of lose our identity and our purpose. On a bigger scale, the whole world is trying to catch up to America. So you see all these Chinese and Indians aspiring to a much higher quality of life. And there's only so much stuff to go around in this planet. So, again, the reality is in the decades to come, there's just going to be a lot less. And we're all going to have to figure out how to deal with less, or we're all going to be fighting with one another. And that's, we put too much money into military already, so we need to figure out how to get along. But you're right. How do we live with less? There is evidence back in the 40s and 50s that people lived with less, but they were happier. And yet we have a society that trains us not to be citizens of a functioning democracy, but consumers in a capitalistic society that teaches us that we have two identities. One is to be good worker bees and work, 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 and then as soon as we're off work, go spend all our money on stuff, and that's our purpose. And I just don't think that gives us a lot of fulfillment as people. We're all kind of feeling empty about that.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We will be right back with more of the fabulous Dr. Doug Craig here on KCNR 1460.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms. From animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics in genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at Lazy69Ranch.com.
Hi, this is Trudy Pratt. Have you tried the new Air Park Cafe lately? Owner Cindy Norris is known for her veggie scramble. It includes hash browns and toast for $6.50. It's my favorite breakfast in Reading. Air Park Cafe is located at Benton Air Park, where Gold Street meets Air Park Drive. The hours at the Air Park are Monday through Saturday, 7:30 in the morning to 2 p.m., and on Sundays a bit shorter, from 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m. Come and watch the planes land at the Air Park Cafe.
What are you going to do about dinner tonight? What are you in the mood for? A savory, mouth-watering, fork-tender filet mignon you can cut with a smile? A hot and juicy New York or top sirloin steak cooked to perfection? Deep-fried jumbo prawns? Tender ocean scallops? Crunchy, flavorful, golden brown southern fried chicken? All served with garlic bread, baked potato, or french fries, along with a big family-style bowl of tossed green salad with a homemade dressing of your choice? Yeah. In the mood? Well, then what you do about dinner tonight is do Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark for 70 years and serving the finest USDA choice meats aged and prepared to tasty perfection for an unforgettable dining experience. When you do Jack's, you do your best. Open Monday through Saturday for your dining pleasure. What are you doing for dinner tonight? Well, grab someone special and do your best. Do Jack's, 1743 California Street, Reading.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. You know, our guest in the house today is Dr. Doug Craig, Reading psychologist. And you know, I wanted to kind of tell you a little bit about, in my practice, you know, we've had over, probably since the economy started to tank, really maybe 2.5 years ago, we have spent a lot of time trying to just come up with ideas for patients of what they can do with their family for fun that has nothing to do with going to the mall, spending money. And, you know, I was raised on a hill in Old Shasta with no television, so, you know, I for some reason became a pretty good resource for just bizarre ideas of how to have fun hanging out in the living room. And somewhere in there that people have made these little shifts. And so, because in the way we're raised in our culture, we don't even think sort of, you know, what can you do hanging out together that's creative? Where would you go with, like, what do you do in your practice to help people out of this sort of materialistic jam where happiness is going to come from hearing the cash or the ATM or the cash register go ding?
Yeah, I think my, and maybe, in fact, I'm on the radio right now. Sounds like I'm putting down another medium, but I do think one of the most destructive aspects of our culture is the television. And I think so many of us have become habitually trained to either do work or do school and then come home and sit down in front of the TV and kind of zone out. So I think the first thing often is just to get the TV off, and then all kinds of creative things can happen. For one thing, you know, we're probably going to be less depressed because the television medium is designed on sensationalism, which often is, you know, kind of negative things that are happening, and I think that can lead to a sense of despair. But again, as I said earlier, if we focus on ourselves at this moment, our thoughts and our feelings and our behavior, we're powerful. And we can do things like one of my favorite things is to get together with friends at for a meal and have great conversation about things and talk about ideas. We have a culture that is very exhibitionistic, and then we all become voyeurs. So we sit at home and just watch other people live. And then we think that's life. And instead, we need to get in there and live ourselves and without dictating to people, you should do this or that. But like you said, there are many things that we can do, and we can think back to, well, what did people do before they had Twitter and before they had texting and all the other technology devices that we have now? I think we did go for walks, and We recently got a couple German Shepherd puppies, and that's pretty much my life right now, is playing with them, you know. So, you know, and that doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
And the same when our kids were younger. That was an amazing experience. And usually it is about connecting with other people. I think that's what it's all about, is making connections, especially with people that you might not feel like you have a lot in common with, but because I think too often we focus on what we call silos of information. We just read and consume information that just is consistent with what we already believe, and we hang out with people that think like we do, and it's kind of deadening an experience. I think we need to get out and be with people that are different from us and teach them, learn from them, and I think we're all better for it.
So this idea of building your inner life, you know, versus relying on this external gratification that we've become so accustomed to, whether you're off work for a while or for a long period of time, kind of, you know, enriching the person within and having, you know, creating community with friends, neighbors, family, being less isolated. You know, one of the funny things about having a little more time is that you have a little more time. I mean, you can reach out. You can have folks over for dinner, where when things were just crazy three years ago around here, you know, no one had time to do anything. They were busy, you know, getting that new granite countertop. And so now people have time to really stop and think a little bit about who they are and who they are on the inside and where they want to go with their life. I mean, is that kind of the nice part about a lull?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's something to be said for having, I don't know, the requirement maybe by one's conditions to... when you hit bottom, I think lots of times people reevaluate their lives and make different decisions about what they're doing. I feel blessed to be a psychologist, because I feel like all day long I have people being real, and I realize that when I, you know, take some days off my practice, I kind of miss it, because so much of our society is somewhat superficial, and I think we miss that. We need to make connections with one another. And again, as consumers, we're often taught just to work and consume. And I think it is important to step away from that whole process and enjoy one another and begin to think about what kind of world do we have, and is this working for us or not?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, you talked about materialism as it relates to families. Is there a particular difficulty faced by young people, children who have been raised in, a West Reading family that, there just was no end to the amount of stuff that they were able to get? I mean, that's changed. I mean, what kind of pressures does it put on young people in particular?
Yeah, I think the sad fact is that in a society that's profit-driven, everything else is secondary. And so, and I'm not a Luddite, I'm not saying that I don't have technology, but what I am saying is that I'm kind of grateful that the worst, I don't know, a media distraction when I was young was Pac-Man, and so I might spend a dollar a day, you know, save my four quarters and play Pac-Man at the video arcade, but you know, my nephews and certainly my kids grew up in a generation where the technology developed to a point where they could literally be addicted all day long to these things. And I think while good things can be said for some of that, I think it's left some of them very dependent on external things for their fulfillment and joy. And I worry about that as a culture, what we're doing creating that. And so you're right, as things shift and change, we're not quite in the Depression era, but as things shift and change economically, we've got to figure out new ways of developing community and entertainment that isn't so destructive and isolating.
One thing that you said earlier was that even people with jobs right now feel unsafe, because maybe they haven't lost their job yet and they have a great job, but the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, if they had this same job, they would have a sense of security. Okay, I have a job. Right now, people with those same jobs, they still are unsettled and don't feel safe.
Yeah, I think I've seen that since I started in private practice in the late 80s, and I was already seeing some of that then, but certainly more so over the years. And essentially what I'm referring to is the idea that any individual in their profession, whatever it is, at least the ones that I've worked with, don't have that sense that maybe their immediate supervisor is fully committed to their welfare because the person above them isn't fully committed to their welfare, that they're all kind of functionaries in a system that isn't necessarily focused on caring for the human part of the equation. Again, the human beings that we human beings have made ourselves somehow less vital or less important in the big system, that the money must always take precedence, and that's a sad fact.
Oh, that's a very disturbing fact. On that note, we're taking a break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
How did the stimulus bill affect you? Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did bailing out financial institutions help you? Did cash for clunkers? How about bailing out the car companies? Did that help? As far as California is concerned, a study in 2006 by the Finance and Business Administration of the State University in Sacramento reports 99.2% of all employer business is small business. California taxes collected from small business were $492 billion, nearly five times the state's general budget, and almost a third of the state's gross product. The state is facing a $24 billion shortfall. There's talk in Sacramento of raising taxes, creating new taxes, taxing labor and service jobs. That seems like a sure job killer, and no way can it help small business create jobs. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers. Listen Saturdays as I host Senior Solutions. I will focus on informing our aging seniors and their families of resources in Shasta County. Guests will join me in discussing home care, estate planning, health care issues, veterans benefits, financial concerns, and area agencies and resources. Sponsors include Home Helpers, Spectrum Prosthetics, Sierra Oaks and Oakdale Heights of Redding, Nancy Goddess Elder Law Attorney, Shasta County Adult Protective Services, and Owens Healthcare and Pharmacy. That's Senior Solutions Saturdays at 1, right here on KCNR 1460.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. Our guest today in the studio is Dr. Doug Craig, Redding psychologist. And Doug, give us some ideas. You know, during the break, we were laughing a little bit about how people are now suddenly depressed. If they weren't, they are now. And that's not my take home at all from this. I'm inspired. And so whenever the conclusion is that we need to spend a little more time together and kind of get rid of some of our gadgets and our materialism, I can't think of that being anything but positive. So for folks that maybe did kind of take a little bit of a, maybe did get a little depressed there, what kind of give us a little bit of a list of things to do? What would you suggest people do? Like
Sorry,
three or
Trudy.
Four things.
in a general sense, you know, here's a statement I can make and I often make to my clients. It's a little exercise that I think can give them a kickstart to getting some perspective. And carry a little tablet around with you for a few days. And whenever you think of something that's stressful, write it down. And usually by the end of that process, you're going to have several pages of things that you're stressed about, because we have a mental life. We think of reality as being outside of us, but really we're interpreting and perceiving reality through our particular system, our awareness system, let's call it, and we're creating meaning, and we define, and we have this constant kind of editorial process going on in our brain. We call it the pathological critic often, that finds fault with ourselves. So if you write all that down and probably have a few pages of that, you can go back then and off to the right, on the right side of that sheet of paper, you can usually write the word control or no control. And when you do that, then you'll often find that almost everything on your little list there is going to be no control. And then you're going to find that the no control things fall into three categories, the first being your past. Many of us have a lot of painful memories. We have regrets. We remember missed opportunities. We remember words we said that hurt someone, or remember somebody that did something to us that was hurtful. It's a lot of personalization and blame, and that's a lot of stuff we can't do much about. Or the future, a lot of us now with this economy think, well, gosh, I had all these plans for my retirement. I was going to live in Tahiti or sail around the world. I was going to use my millions to help society, and now I'm not sure if I can maintain my home. You know, am I going to live under a bridge? And so a lot of us spend a lot of time in constant anxiety about the future. And then the other thing we do a lot about is focus on other people. What do other people think? What this person did to me or what they're going to do, those kinds of things. And again, all that stuff we have no control over. And it's a cliche, but we do have to ultimately accept and let go of all that stuff we can't change or control. And once we do all that, we're left with a much smaller list of things we have control over. And it all comes down to ourselves at this moment, our thoughts, our feelings, and our behavior. And we're extremely powerful there. I know many people in this economy who are unemployed especially will talk themselves out of even applying for positions because they've already decided they're not going to get hired. And they go in with that attitude, or they never fill out the application, whereas I say they have nothing to lose to live hopefully and positively, to realize that they have this moment, they have a physical body, they have their health, hopefully, and they have opportunities, and they have nothing to lose but to get out there and make these efforts. In addition, the world is changing, and I think we need to have some vision about where it's changing and where it's going. And I think those people that see the trends can see what's coming. Too many people are looking at the future as a continuation of the past, but that is not the truth. The truth is the world isn't undergoing dramatic change, and a lot of things are coming to an end, but a lot of new exciting things are coming. You know, for example, China is way ahead of the United States in terms of their development of green technologies. And so we have to decide as a society, are we just going to be consumers of what China makes, or are we going to be on the forefront of that? We're in such a state of denial about so many things that are going on in the world that we're totally unprepared for what's coming. We've always been a leader in the world in terms of science and technology, but we're sadly lacking because we just have different priorities now as a society and culture. And I'm just so concerned that we human beings need to reassert ourselves and come together and create new systems and new ways of functioning and being together that enhance our lives.
You mentioned just a second ago, you know, you have your health, hopefully, et cetera. I understand about a year ago or maybe longer ago, you had a personal setback, a health setback, which you've come back from, and I'd be interested in hearing that story.
Yeah, I could go on and on about it. I'll try to keep it fairly concise. Yeah, August 23rd, 2008, I was on a little motor scooter that I had purchased as maybe one way to reduce my carbon footprint, but secretly it was just because I thought it'd be a lot of fun to ride around on a scooter, and it was. But one day I found myself just waiting at a stoplight on Oasis Road there on Lake Boulevard behind a truck, and another truck failed to realize that he was, well, the driver of the truck anyway, failed to realize he was driving, I guess. Didn't see other vehicles, didn't notice the light was red, and slammed into me going about 45 miles an hour, and I was crushed between the two trucks. And fortunately, I don't really remember that. I do remember the screeching tires, and then the next thing I remember, I'm laying on my back kind of screaming until I heard a human voice, and somehow that human voice just immediately settled me, and it made me realize, looking back now, that there's something in us that craves for connection. And I went from total terror to kind of total peace. I was probably in shock, of course, but I totally calmed down, and I was very serene, and I truly had no pain, even though apparently my femur was sticking up out of my leg, and I had broken ribs, broken wrists, and lost a couple pints of blood. But I was just amazed looking back at how all these strangers immediately came to my aid. One gentleman started praying with me, and another one kind of held me together until the ambulance arrived and kept reassuring me. His name was Russell, and I wrote a blog about that back at Thanksgiving. And then just one person after another, you know, at Mercy Hospital and at the rehab hospital were there for me, and then continued aftercare with physical therapy and, you know, meds helped a little bit there for a while, you know, some pain meds, and then I got off of that stuff. So, but, you know, my end result is that, you know, I've got metal in my body and both wrists and my leg, but I'm grateful to be here, and it's probably given me a profound appreciation for what we do as a society to help one another when we're really in crisis. And I think that's something we have to keep in mind when we're full of despair in the economy we are, that, you know, we're still here for each other, and we can still be very important to one another's emotional survival.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be back with more of Dr. Doug Craig right after this.
If you're looking for natural remedies for your health problems, look no further. East Earth Tradewinds, Reading's most complete herb store, has hundreds of Chinese herbs, books, essential oils, and more. You can also make appointments for acupuncture treatment or oriental therapeutic massage. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit us at 144 Hartnell Avenue in the south end of the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's East Earth Tradewinds, 144 Hartnell Avenue in Reading.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, Rachel, did you hear about TehamaTradingPost.com?
I just heard about them on the radio. Did you go to their website?
Yes, I did. It's awesome. You can sell just about anything you want, from autos to real estate.
So it's free online classifieds?
Yes, and TehamaTradingPost.com has coupons for local merchants, and you can view the website from your cell phone.
Dad, can I post ads for new employees?
Yes, you can, and that's free also.
Dad, thanks for recommending TehamaTradingPost.com. I sold my boat, and I was able to buy a new car and find an apartment for our two new employees.
TehamaTradingPost.com. Buy local, shop local, dine local, stay local.
KCNR 1460.
Slow down, you move too fast.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Welcome back. Our guest today, Dr. Doug Craig, Reading psychologist. Doug, you were telling us about this unbelievable experience that you've had, that you survived, and kind of what are the lessons? What were the low points? The lessons you can share with us that had to do with sort of the agony that you went through that makes you a little bit like some of the other people suffering agony?
Well, I suppose the fact that I've been doing psychotherapy for 20 years helped me a little bit, in that I was forced to apply what I'd kind of been counseling people on for years, which was, you know, focus on what you can control and let go of what you can't. And people often when they talk to me about the accident, they would focus on the guy that hit me, whereas I puzzled over that, and I realized, you know, I forgot about him almost immediately because he was really irrelevant to my future. You know, he was already part of my past, and I didn't find it helpful to dwell on, you know, him. You know, we all as drivers can have lapses, and I thought about it, and I said, I thought I'd much rather be me the person laying on the street than him behind the wheel realizing he had just done that to another person. You know, I couldn't have lived with myself if I had done that to someone, or I would have difficulty anyway. But certainly as I move forward, I went through my week at Mercy, my week at the rehab hospital there on Eureka Way, and then the following Monday, I was started my physical therapy and I was back at work, and I just, because I knew I had to live, and the way I am psychologically, I would have become extremely depressed if I didn't have something to fill my time with, and in a selfish way, that's what my clients do for me. It helps me get out of my head, my own worries and anxieties, and be of service. And I think that was very helpful. And the fact I set up a routine of 5 days a week physical therapy and then my practice, and I just left no room for fear and depression. Now, having said that, it did set in later on when my expectations of my recovery didn't quite meet what I thought they'd be, and especially the physical pain in my back area once I started walking and putting weight on my body. And I, you know, there were some things going on that, you know, I definitely had suicidal thoughts. Not that I would have acted on it, but I did have those kind of thoughts that why would I want to live if this is what my life is going to be? So again, it gave me a lot of insight into, you know, a lot of the things that my clients go through, and I'm just so grateful through different means, massage and physical therapy, that I was able to come back from that.
I know of a good chiropractor if you need one of those.
Very cute. You know, I want to make a shift now. I want to move into another one of your passions. You have a lot of them, and one of the focuses of your blog with Redding.com is your passion for climate change. And when did that start for you? When did you make a shift into that?
I think 2004, I heard a gentleman named Dane Wigington give a talk on it, and I kind of thought I knew something, but I realized after he was done that I didn't, and so I started doing a lot of research on my own, and I think it really took off in 2006. There was a Time magazine cover about how worried we should be about this, and you know, I thought now it's out there in the public, we can all get going on it. And since then, I've developed kind of an obsession where I've bought well over 100 books on it, shy of 200. But my obsession is based on what's the future going to be for my kids. Before this, though, I had an obsession with media. My undergrad degree is in journalism, and I've always had a kind of an interest in how we communicate with ourselves about things that matter. And many of us are aware of a consolidation that's gone on the last couple decades to the point now where there's about 5 corporations that pretty much control most of what we at least see on television, some other newspapers even. And I've been fascinated as a psychologist from a social perspective how the climate change issue has been spun by the media. We actually know since the late 80s, early 90s, that the science has been mostly settled that human activity is causing the globe to warm. But there's been an extremely effective propaganda campaign since the early 90s to spin it a different direction. And it's on one level, it's a fascinating success story for how the public mind can be manipulated. But the sad part is it could mean a devastation of the only home we'll ever have.
So when we look at climate change, a lot of your blog is explaining to people what climate change is and the devastation. And then, you know, Mark and I kind of talk a lot about what the heck are we all going to do about this. So in the event that we really are on this, you know, if we're spiraling downward, what are we going to do? What can I do? I'm Trudy Pratt. What can I do?
Yeah, I think we can all do things. I've got solar panels on my roof, and I've got an electric car that I could go on and on about what a pain it has been. I didn't drive it today because I wasn't sure I could plug in here, and I wasn't sure I could get home then. So, you know, there are things we can do, but the reality is this isn't going to be fixed by individuals doing things, even though it's good to get better light bulbs and try to reduce your own personal carbon footprint. There's a much larger concern. The reality is that ExxonMobil and other global corporations are determined to burn every drop of oil they can find, and the coal companies want to burn all that up. And so it won't really matter what we do if we don't change those kinds of things that are going to continue to happen.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we will be right back after this message.
Have you ever heard of colon hydrotherapy? It's a way to clean, tune, and rebuild your large intestine. Chris Mann, owner of Norstate Hydrotherapy, is a certified colon hydrotherapist with a practice in Reading located at 3067 Victor Avenue. Chris rebuilt her own health using colon therapy and can help you. Call Chris at 223-3656. That's 223-3656.
I'm a wife, a mom, and a grandmother. And for 26 years, I've been a registered nurse and health educator. Hi, this is Nancy Sutton Pierce. Join me every Saturday from 11 to 12 a.m. on the Conscious Living Show. It's your time. Let's talk health, love, life challenges, and so much more. Set your dial at 1460 on Saturday at 11 for the Conscious Living Show. Brought to you by Nancy Sutton's House of Yoga and Hilltop Medical Clinic.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. The guest in our studio is Dr. Doug Craig, Reading psychologist, and one of his passions is global warming, climate change. During the break, the question came up, what about all of this crazy cold weather? I guess, you know, there's so much for global warming. What would be an answer for people for that question?
Well, what people fail to understand is that, very simply, there's no dispute within mainstream science that carbon dioxide, water vapor, and other greenhouse gases trap heat. If it weren't for those, there'd be no life on Earth. The sun, you know, would just bounce off the Earth's surface and stream back into space. So the tiny bit of CO2 up there is a nice little blanket that insulates the Earth and allows life to exist. The trouble is we've got more up there now than has existed certainly since humans have been on the planet, and maybe for many millions of years, and we just keep putting more up there. So, but the reality is that for every degree of warming, the atmosphere can hold about 7% more moisture, more water vapor. And so that's got to come down. You know, it doesn't stay up there. So when it does come down, we have a lot more rain and flooding in some parts of the planet. And then, of course, if it's below freezing, we all know that water is frozen, and so we have snow. And so the reality is we're going to have much larger rainstorms, much larger snowstorms. Global warming does not make snow extinct. It just slowly increases the warmth so that year by year, on average, our climate is warming. That's all it means. We've had something like 150 continuous months, if not more, of above-average warming. 2009 was the second warmest year since records have been kept, and this last month, January, was the warmest ever in the southern hemisphere. So, warmest January so since records have kept. So we're going to see more of that, and we should be concerned and should try to do something about it. It's not hopeless, and I can go into that more if you like.
I would love that.
Okay. It isn't enough, perhaps, to just say that the Earth is warming and that we need, again, to change light bulbs. What's more important is that we realize there's a finite amount of CO2 that we can keep putting up there before we move to something called dangerous anthropogenic interference, which just means dangerous messing with the environment. And dangerous just means to us. You know, the Earth is probably going to be all right, meaning that even if humans go extinct, life will continue in some shape or form, and maybe over millions of years some new life form will evolve similar to what we have here. But we're self-centered, we're narcissistic as a species, and we want to continue. So if we can keep it below 2 degrees centigrade, we may be all right, or at least scientists tell us that. The danger is something called geoengineering. I just got back from San Diego. It was a four-day conference down there with the American Association for the Advancement of Science, AAAS, and the American Enterprise Institute was there, and a representative from that organization. Now, 2 years ago, this is an organization that was offering $10,000 to any scientist that would dispute the prevailing consensus on climate change, meaning there is no science, no published science in peer-reviewed journals in the last 20 years that disputes the fact that humans are causing the globe to warm. So the conservative think tanks are offering, you know, money to so-called scientists to come up and say that it's not true. And, of course, a very gullible media will be glad to pass that information on to us. Now, this organization, though, the AEI was there, a representative was there, and his title was Director of Geoengineering. Now, geoengineering is what you do. It's kind of like if someone's very obese and they can't stop eating and they go get their stomach stapled. You know, they can't figure out how to get healthy by not eating or exercising, and I feel great compassion for them. I know it's not easy. And that's a very effective procedure for them. But we're kind of trying or thinking about now doing that on a planet-wide basis. And so what geoengineering, one of the techniques will be, and there are patents out there from the early 90s, will be airplanes flying around in the stratosphere releasing sulfur and aluminum and other barium, other things, bad stuff. And what that will do is it will, those particulates will remain suspended in the atmosphere and will kind of do some solar protection, kind of protect us from some of that solar radiation. But we'll have to keep doing that, and we really don't know what that's going to do to us as we breathe that in, as the water absorbs those toxic chemicals. But as I say, some of these conservative think tanks have been opposed to us regulating CO2, but now that we're maybe moving toward geoengineering, I think they're happy to get on board with that to begin tampering with the environment further.
So is geoengineering a little bit like people who go out and eat pizza and milkshakes and they go home with indigestion and they take a purple pill and they feel better, but it doesn't address the underlying cause, which is they're eating crap food?
Yeah, there definitely is. It's like a Band-Aid that kind of fixes things, but the worst part of it would be if it allowed us to think, oh, good, I can keep abusing myself or the environment and not pay consequences. You know, this generation, I'm 54, our generation is the last generation of responsibility. Our children is the first generation of consequence. And so one positive geoengineering opportunity might be to figure out how to suck that CO2 out of the atmosphere and sequester it underground, and I think we should be putting billions of dollars into that research.
Oh, wonderful. So when you, in part of the conference you attended then, was it more some of these solution, it was kind of solution-based like this?
Scientists aren't necessarily solution-based. You know, I think science is what we have to use to understand the world, but often they're precluded by their process to not say a darn thing they can't prove with evidence. And so they're very cautious in their statements, and they often will stand back and kind of say, yeah, it looks like the science is going well, but it could mean the end of the world, and then they go back to their lab and do more research. So they're not always helpful to us in coming up with solutions except to say, you know, we just got to reduce our carbon footprint and there's only so much more we can get away with. But they're kind of flummoxed by the other side, so to speak, of this debate, which is the non-scientific realm that wants to make it permissible for us to continue to party like it's 1999, as they say, and until the very end. So, but in terms of solutions, we just have to figure out how to create our energy without using fossil fuel energy. We can do that.
You know, I want to thank you for coming on today. We've learned so much, everything from how to relate better to each other to, you know, having a little bit of a trip down your experience with your accident and then just starting this whole idea of climate change and what we're going to do about it. We hope that you want to come on and join us again. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and I also want to thank our sponsors, Lazy 69 Ranch and East Earth Tradewinds, Redding's home of the best acupuncture and herbs. And thanks for joining us today, and go out and have a beautiful sunny day.
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding. Good morning. It's 11 o'clock.